Well, if you go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3 tonight, we're going to be looking at verse 18. Now we kind of, again, pick up our train of thought as we work our way through the catechism. If you recall last week, we were answering the question of, can any creature stand before God and bear the demands of God's justice for their sin? And we said that there was no creature that is just a mere creature that can. And so what we want to take up, and we're actually going to be combining three questions in the catechism to just answer this. And these three questions deal with the nature of this mediator. Who is this one who can stand in the sinner's place and who can bear the weight of God's wrath and judgment for our sin? What is this mediator like who can fully bear the punishment of our sin and who can do so in a way that satisfies all the demands of divine justice and can fully bear all the wrath of God upon himself for our sins? What is this one need to be like? And what our text in 1 Peter is going to tell us today is, there are actually many passages that address this, but what we see here in 1 Peter 3:18 is we see all these aspects of this mediator coming together in this one passage. And here's what we're going to see represented here for us today. We see that this mediator has to be a man. We're going to see that this mediator has to be just or righteous. And we can see that this mediator has to be God. And we see this in 1 Peter 3:18 where we read, "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." So we start out immediately in this text seeing that this mediator is God, or as the old theologians used to say, very God of very God. Okay? And we see that in the first two words. It opens with, "For Christ." For Christ. Who is this mediator? He is Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed servant of God. He is Christ, the Son of the living God, as Peter declared him in Matthew 16:16. You see, only he is this very God of very God who can bear the wrath of God in his flesh by the power of his Godhead being the second person of the Trinity. He is this one whom God made Christ, Acts 2:36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." He is the one. He is the mediator. Acts 2:24 tells us, "And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power." Why was it impossible for Christ to be held in the power of death? Well, simply because he is the Christ. He is the one who's imbued with all the power of the Godhead as the second person of the Trinity. See, Christ could not be held by death because as the Son of God, he has full authority to lay down his life, and he has full authority to take his life up again, John 10:17-18. Christ could not be held by death because God raised him up again, Acts 2:24, the passage we just read. And Christ could not be held by death because he was made alive in the Spirit, 1 Peter 3:18, our text we're looking at tonight. You see, eternal death is the wages of sin. And it's only the eternal Son of God who can bear that penalty, and then, by the power of the fullness of the Godhead, be raised from the dead, really be raised from eternal death to eternal life as the first fruits of the resurrection of all who believe in him. So this mediator must be God. This mediator also, though, must be just. And what does our text say? He died for the sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God. Okay, so the just for the unjust. You see, we established last week, anyone who is a sinner himself, okay, cannot make recompense for the sins of another. They have their own sins to deal with. So in order for our mediator to be our substitute and to take our place of punishment, he first must be righteous or just. And our mediator has to be one who is perfect in every way. We see this expressed in detail in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 26 through 28. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people, because this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints a son made perfect forever. You see, this mediator of ours, this passage tells us he is holy. He is holy. Okay, it means to be pious towards God. It means to be perfectly answering God's will in everything. And Jesus is the only one who's done that. He has perfectly answered God's will in everything. Every thought, every word, every motive, every intent, every action, every purpose that he had. But he's not only holy, he's also innocent. It means he's free from evil. There is no evil found in him. Even at his crucifixion, what did Pilate say? I find no guilt in this man. I find no evil in this man. Even an unbeliever could see that. And he's undefiled. It means to be untainted. Okay, and this is important because he came into this world, we're going to see next, as a man. And he walked among men. And he ate and he drank with sinners. Yet in his relations with men, he was never corrupted by the stain of our sin. He remained ethically and morally pure. And then he's separated from sinners. As our holy high priest without stain, he is apart from us. He is different from us. He is set apart. He is exalted to the heavens by God. And yet, even though he's apart from us, he works making intercession for us to bring us to God and to make us one with him in his righteousness through faith. You see, he himself is this once-for-all sacrifice through which Christ the just, or Christ the righteous, has been offered up to bear the wrath of God for our sins, and in so doing pays the redemption price for our salvation. It is through Christ in his gospel that sinners who hear the good news, repent, and trust in Christ are brought to God as sons forever. And lastly, we see that this mediator must be a man. It says, having been put to death in the flesh. He's a man. Christ the Messiah, the Son of God, was put to death for sinful men as a man. Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. See, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to bear the penalty of the law for our sin in his own flesh, to condemn sin and break the power of death. He took on our humanity. He walked as a man on this earth, as we've already seen, perfectly fulfilling all the Father's will in everything. And he went to the cross as a pure, holy, and undefiled man. Only a man can bear the sins of men. Only a man can bear the sins of men. And see, this flows from the principle of federal headship under which sin came into the world through Adam. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Sin came through one man. Sin came through Adam. And then sin spread from that man to all the rest of us, bringing all of us under the curse of the law and into death. And since sin came by a man, sin can now only be atoned for by a man, the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:17. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. You see, it's by the same principle through which death spread that eternal life comes to those who believe. It's through the federal headship of the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, that God brings grace and righteousness and eternal life to sinners. The man Christ Jesus, who is very God and who is perfectly righteous, stood in man's place, bore our sins as a man, paid the penalty for our sins as a man, completely carried the weight of the wrath of God for our sins as a man, that all who believe in him shall have their sin imputed to him and atoned for by his death on the cross, and then shall have his righteousness that he earned by his perfect life imputed to them by faith. You see, by the mercies of God, we receive all that Jesus has done for sinners through faith alone, Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. Brothers and sisters, I think it will do our soul well to meditate deeply upon the glorious nature of our mediator. You see, in it, we see the love of God for sinners. We see the exacting, holy justice of God who deals with sin. And we see the mercy and grace of God to sinners in the hope of the gospel. In the nature and the work of our mediator, we can rest our hope for eternal life on the only sure foundation. So let us rest in Jesus Christ the righteous, all man, all God, all righteousness. Let's pray. Father, what can we do but give thanks and praise your holy name for giving your Son, for making a way of salvation for lost sinners like us, for giving us a redeemer, a mediator, one who will come and stand in our place, one who will carry the awful weight of the penalty of our sin, one who will lay down his life for us, and then one who will graciously call us to himself in the gospel. Father, we thank you for him. We thank you for your mercy and your grace to us through him. And Father, we pray now, as those who were once your enemies, who are now made your children, we pray, Lord, that we would live to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.